Well, hello, good evening. I'm speaking to you on Thursday evening from my little man den, man cave at the rectory. And a few days from now, I'll be in Alberta. Certainly by the time you watch this and hear this, I'll be there. I'm visiting some churches in Alberta, about a couple of hours south of Calgary, called the Via Apostolica churches, and I'm staying with a guy called Todd Atkinson, who's a bishop, and these churches are coming into the Anglican church. They come from a kind of Pentecostal tradition, and we have an invitation to come and just visit with him. Talk more about him in a minute, but hopefully my time in Alberta is going well. It's much, much colder in Alberta than it is in Edinburgh, and it can be down to the -20. So I'm hoping it's not quite as cold as that. I've got my long johns packed ready for that trip. But anyway, I can't be with you tonight. I need to be at Ray at some point, and it just so happens it's when Central Meeting is on. So I'm gonna try and share with you some thoughts. I had various ideas about what I would do. I'm really grateful to Miller, who's going to chair tonight and get you praying and so on. So thankful to him, and I shared with him what I thought I was going to talk about, and then change came along, as is wont to do sometimes. And so I've changed slightly what I thought I would share with him. And it's partly really, I've really, this has been a hard week. It's been a hard season, basically, through Christmas into New Year. Just loss of family, loss of friends. Little bit of pressure and a little bit of opposition and some difficult things family-wise dealing with, and I've just found I've just been struggling, I guess, not in my faith, but just struggling just to keep my eye on the ball and keep my eye on the Lord. And so I wanted to share a little bit about that, and really part of my reading has from scripture this week has been from Paul's letter to the Romans. So I want to read a chapter and just draw out a few things from it, and I hope that this is helpful. I hope it might serve as a little bit of a marker or some markers for what we're going to be about as a church, what we need to exhibit, and what kind of church that we need to be in this year. So if you've got Bibles, and I hope you will have Bibles, if not, let's pause the video and let's gather some Bibles together so that everybody can see the passage, because obviously, because this is video, we can't project the words on the screen in the same way. So it'd be helpful if you had a Bible in front of you. So this is from Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to read the whole of the chapter and then just make some comments as briefly as I can. So this is Romans chapter 12, and I hope it's helpful. Living sacrifices. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Actually, I'm just going to pause there, because it really just, we know these verses, we've read them before, we've heard them, but they really impacted me when I read them again this week. You know, the pain that I am feeling right now is real and difficult. But some of that pain and some of that difficulty comes from the fact that I'm looking in all the wrong places. My focus is not quite right. And Paul is trying to get the Roman Christians to understand that they need to have a right focus, their bodies and their minds. Need to be devoted to the Lord. And so often what we do, it's not like that. This coming Sunday I'm preaching on Jesus being the bread of life from John chapter 6. And again, as I've been preparing that, it's really struck me the question, what do you like eating? You know, if you could eat the same thing every day, there's some things that I love chicken. I could eat chicken every day if you would let me do that. I would do it quite happily. But we're less good at taking Jesus' words. I am the bread of life. Who comes to me will never be hungry and will never be thirsty. And Jesus is saying, you know, you need to be coming to me. you need to be focusing on me, devoted to me. And he's not doing that from a sense of narcissism that he needs us to do that. He's saying, I offer myself for you. I offer myself to you. I am available to you. You are so precious. And so when things aren't going right for us, we need to come to the Lord and present ourselves to him as he gives himself to us as the bread of life. We need to offer ourselves to him. And Paul's encouraging that. Don't let, this is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of the world. The way you use your mind, don't let your mind conform to what's happening out there. But rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does that renewing work? Well, it is coming to God. That's why the regular rhythms and patterns of submitting ourselves to God in prayer and scripture reading help us not to be conformed to the world, but help us to be conformed to the Lord and what he is thinking. Notice what Paul says here, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will, bringing our wills in line with his will. And some of my pain comes from the fact that I am not always walking in his will. I can be willful, and my desire to control and my desire myself and control my life and make everything fit and keep everything ordered in a way that works for me. And that trips me up sometimes. That gets me into bother. Paul goes on, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. A real problem for followers of Jesus, people who think that they're better than they are, people who think that their ideas are better than God's, people who look down upon others, people who look down upon the word of God, people who whose intellects are the vast size of a planet, who have this wonderful new revelation of that nobody else has ever heard. Don't think more highly of yourself than you really ought to. It's the same is true for all of us. We all can be guilty of that. I can be as guilty as the next person of that. A certain arrogance in my intellectual processes. Don't think more highly of yourself, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So Paul, I think, is saying there, look upon yourself in the way that God looks upon you. So you need to love yourself because God loves you. But actually, God knows how many hairs are in your head and what colour they are. But he also knows your weaknesses and your frailties. Try to see yourself as the Lord sees you. Now, that helps. You know, if we have a low estimation of ourselves, a low sense of self-esteem, then hopefully that raises us up a bit higher because we understand we are the beloved children of God, made in his image, precious to him. But also the flip of that might be if we're arrogant so-and-sos and we think we're better or we know better than he does, then maybe that will bring us down and lower our estimation. Paul then goes on to say the importance of belonging to one another. He talks about gifts. He talks about the importance of being connected with one another. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And the picture there is we need each other. We need people to be serving one another. We need people to have that sense of belonging to one another. We are the body of Christ. And there's all sorts of words to bring out there. If you're leading, lead diligently. Take it seriously. Be responsible in it, spend the time doing it. Do what you do cheerfully. If you're a giver, then cheerfully give with celebration. Do what you do to the glory of God, to the best of your ability. And clearly the Roman Christians weren't necessarily always doing these things. You know, some people in leadership weren't being as diligent as they might have been. Some people were giving and were not being as cheerful about it as they ought to have been. Even though they had the resources to do it, they weren't being cheerful givers. Others weren't being as generous, and yet that was their calling, to be generous. And of course, the reality is all of these things, all the gifts of God, are great joys, but they're also great responsibilities. And if you have responsibilities, sometimes it becomes a little bit heavy, particularly if you don't get anything back in return. That's why Paul uses the picture of the body. We all need each other, and if we're all needing one another and all gifts are being used, then we should be receiving as well as giving. You know, if we're constantly giving out and not receiving, that's why churches don't function well all the time, because some people are receiving some people are giving and not receiving anything in return. So there's a picture here to be built up, and all of us need to take our responsibilities seriously. So as you look around the room, look at the amazing gifted people that there are in St. Thomas's and think, wow, you know, I have an opportunity to give there, I've got an opportunity to give there, I've got an opportunity to receive something as well from that person's amazing gifts. You know, when the church is working well, it's at its best, it's when everybody is contributing in this wonderful picture. And then Paul goes on to talk about love. And I love this verse 9. Love must be sincere. It needs to be real. Love needs to be real. Not just saying the word love. You know, I could say to you, turn to one another tonight and just look into one another's eyes and say, I love you. And that would be awful, wouldn't it? Because it's easy to say the words, but actually it would be slightly embarrassing if we did it. But the words can be meaningless if it's not done from the heart. You know, God's love for us is sincere in the sense that it is obvious to all. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for the sins of the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That's how God, the sincerity of love is shown to us, is revealed to the world. It's sacrificial. So the love that we have needs to be sacrificial too. It's, I guess, best expressed in marriage. We put one another first in marriage. It's what makes marriage function at its best. But notice this, love needs to be sincere. And then notice what Paul says next. He says, love needs to be sincere. Hate that which is evil. Did you see that? Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. It's a kind of, it's an injunction, isn't it? That Christians are to hate what is evil. Hate it. And it kind of doesn't ring true, because we're meant to be full of love. But there are some things in the world that we're meant to hate. So what we meant to hate? We meant to hate untruth, fake news, for example. We're meant to hate the fact that there are homeless people on our street. Not the homeless people, we're not to hate them, but we hate the fact that poverty puts people into that situation. We should hate that, because it's an evil. We should hate the fact that unborn children might face death before they've even come into the world. We should hate that. It's an evil. We should hate what's happening around the world, the wars that are being fought. We should hate the untruth that goes by the name of truth that we see in our media. We should hate the fact that people disobey openly God's laws. People pass laws which go against God's laws. We should hate all of that. And we should do our best to combat it. How do we combat it? Do we combat it simply by going on the streets and complaining? Down with this sort of thing? Paul explains again. He says, cling to that which is good. How do you combat evil? You combat it with good. You point to another way, that there are other possibilities, that there are other ways in which we can function, other ways that we can live our lives. Hate that which is evil. Cling to that which is good. So as a follower of Jesus, I need to be exhibiting his goodness in what I say and what I do. As a church of Jesus Christ, then we too need to be clinging to what we need to be, the kind of people and place and group of Christians who are known as being good, that we're known for it. It's revealed like this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted in one another, to one another, in brotherly love. You know, there's a real crisis amongst young men in particular. I don't know, some of you may have seen the Jordan Peterson and Kathy Newman interview on Channel 4. And Jordan Peterson's a Canadian psychologist who is trying to empower young men to kind of grow up. He says there's a problem with young men not growing up. Well, one of the problems, I think, is that young men do not know what it is to be loved. And we need to be exhibiting that. You know, this is one time when you're going to hear me say, you know, men need to say we love each other, you know, that there is a proper kind of man love that that we need to express for one another. Why? Because Paul exhorts us to do that. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. I'm spending time in Canada with this Bishop Todd, and we hooked up. We met, Ali and I met him last year in North America. And you know, sometimes you meet people and you just connect with them, you just click with them, and we experienced that, and we've talked a lot over the last 6 months, 97 months, and he invited me over there. And sometimes the Lord brings people our way into our lives, and a friendship is born kind of in adversity, and my friendship with Todd's a bit like that. And I have other friends who are devoted to me and care about me as I care for them. You know, a friend of mine who stood by me in the darkest days of my life, listened to me saying the same thing over and over and again, and I was like a broken record, and just listened and fed me and physically, and made sure I was exercising, and just helped me keep my head together. And it kind of made me realise that's the all-encompassing love that God has given to me, that we can exhibit to one another. And if we exhibit that as a church, that will make huge impact on people's lives. How can I know that? Because I've experienced it myself. So may that be a kind of watchword for us. Honour one another above yourselves. You know, putting other people first, being caring for other people. And then Paul goes on and talks about, I think, another problem for us. You know, many of us are getting older, our hair's getting greyer, and our eyesight's maybe not what it was, and our hearing's maybe not what it was. And that's just part of the physical degeneration. But, you know, there's something we can keep going on with, even though our bodies are packing in, things that we can still keep going with. And here's what Paul gives us a clue: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Don't give up on being spiritually fervent, effervescent in our spiritual life. When I'm at my lowest, when I'm struggling, when the pressures are building up on me and I feel the zeal beginning to kind of fall, I don't have the energy that I once did, my focus needs to again be on the Lord, focusing on Him, and saying, Lord, give me that zeal that I once had. Restore to me that zeal, that love for you, that passion for you, that desire to share you with other people when the opportunities come. I've got half a dozen flights to do in a week, and I always, you know, when I'm flying, travelling by myself, I always pray the same prayer, Lord. I love to get away and life just to be quiet, but if you want me to be talking to some people on those flights, then just put the right person next to me and give me the right words to say and the right hearing, the right listening ability. So do pray for my journeying, that I have those opportunities just to share with people. So stir up the zeal that the Lord has placed in you. You know, it's a real shame when we've been following the Lord and things maybe just become intellectual, and we're not on fire. We don't tell anybody that we're Christian. People at work don't know we're Christians. People, you know, our family aren't aware of it. I am praying tonight that all of you just get filled with the Holy Spirit and leave St. Thomas's tonight full of zeal, full of spiritual fervour to make Jesus known by what you do. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Just very, very quickly, some important things there. Be joyful in hope. What does joy look like? It's a real mark of the church. People see it, they hear it, they feel it. When we're joyful, people come in. Not that we're just putting it on. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, be joyful in hope. You're looking to the Lord, you're looking to Jesus. Be joyful. It makes an impact on people's lives. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. What's he saying? The normal Christian life, there will be pain. There will be affliction. You'll get ill. Things will not be great. You'll have bad days. It will be painful. It will be painful. But be patient in the face of that. Just expect it. It's normal. It's normal Christian life. Everything will not necessarily be easy. But be patient, because the Lord's not absent. He cares for you, remember? He loves you. And people are watching and see you and how you respond to that. And be faithful in prayer. You know, I can really struck me this week when I'm struggling. I'm looking everywhere. I'm talking to other people and telling them, well, I'm really having a bad week this week. And the one person I'm not talking to is the Lord. And I need to talk to him. I need to bring the pain and the trouble and the fear and the sleeplessness. I need to bring all of that before him in prayer. It's a kind of weakness for us as individuals. It's a weakness for us as a church. We don't pray. We don't focus right. Not just a mechanical, let's have a you know, say morning prayer or evening prayer, but just pouring our hearts out to the Lord. And I hope that we will take that seriously this year, that we'll be just so committed to speaking to the Lord and hearing from him, being faithful in prayer. And then he says, and here's another factor that you need to be showing. Share with people, God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Be generous with what God's given you. Think about your brothers and sisters. Give of your time to them. Give of your energy to them. Give of your money, if you are able to do that, to those who are in need around you. Share with God's people who are in need when you hear of it. And I love St. Thomas's for this. I know how just amazing so many of you are at just sharing from God's goodness with others. It's a real mark of God's work in our church that we're able to do that. Practice hospitality. I have to constantly remind myself of that, opening our home up, inviting the neighbours in. We had our neighbours in at Christmas time again, and it's the third year I think we've done this. It's become a kind of standard thing we have to do. And it's great because we just connect with people that we wouldn't necessarily connect with. Hospitality is the thing that the Lord will use to build the kingdom, to draw people in to his family. May it be a mark of us this year that we are hospitable people. And then he goes on, and again, it's the new normal that he's talking about here. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You're going to come under pressure. People aren't going to like you. They won't like who you are. They won't like what you do. They won't like what you say. Be prepared for it. But you know what? When the people give you a rough time, what do? Bless them. Bless them. Be a blessing. Even when people are unable to bless you, you try to bless them by what you say and by what you do. Be a blessing. And we need to, St. Thomas's can be a blessing to even those who come against us and make life difficult for us. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Celebrate one another when things are going well in one another's lives. Celebrate that. Be a blessing. And mourn with those who mourn. You know, we've had a bit of mourning with people passing away. It's been really hard, really hard. People that we love have gone from us to be with the Lord. And mourning is a kind of key factor in our life together. It will be. We've got an older congregation. We're going to lose people in the years to come. And we should feel that every time. We should rejoice in the ministry, the lives of the people that the Lord takes from us. We will miss them. And that's real. And people see that. They'll see the depth of our heart and our feeling. And we will mourn. You know, we will genuinely mourn. And churches need to be much better at being a people of mourning as well. And then he says this, live in harmony with one another. And with this, I'm just going to end. I've been thinking a lot about this, live in harmony with one another. Now, I can barely hold a tune, but I marvel at people who sing in harmony. It's great being in a church or a place where people are singing. You've got someone singing the high bits and someone singing the low bits, and there's me kind of droning on in the middle somewhere. But the key thing is everybody sings from the same hymn sheet. We sing the same song. It's a nightmare. People try to sing different words, different song. It doesn't work. And so we need to be a people who are singing in harmony, living in harmony. It's not this kind of idea that we're just we're just going to just ignore the facts of what God has said, and we'll agree to differ about stuff. You know, there are some things we need to agree on. Everybody, if you are part of the church, we need to agree this is what we think is important. We're going to come under God's authority, and we're going to listen to what the Lord is saying to us. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have the high notes over here and the low notes over there, that there are differences. We're not all the same, but we sing from the same hymn sheet. Very important. It's what makes churches work. When people start singing I want to sing this, that's when things begin to go wrong. So, and I think historically some churches I've served in, that has been a problem, where people have not wanted to sing from the same hymn sheet. They wanted to go back and sing from the hymn sheets that were being sung 50 years ago, or they wanted to leap forward and sing hymns that weren't yet written. So please think about this. Are you prepared to sing in harmony with your brothers and sisters? Be in harmony with your brothers and sisters. Make a conscious decision to do that, to sing in harmony with the direction the church is being led in. So look, I'm going to stop there. There's more I could say from this passage, but I just wanted to give you a flavour, really, of where my heart is at, how the Lord's impacting me right now. Is maybe a lot of it's coming from just pain, I think. But the stuff in here about what kind of church we are going to be and how we need to be. So listen, I'm going to go, and I hope that the rest of the evening's okay. You can pray for a little bit, maybe pray for one another, and maybe ask one another questions of one another as well. But I miss you. Sorry I'm not with you. I look forward to being back in a few days, back in sunny and warm Edinburgh. So keep me in prayer, keep Ali in prayer when we're apart. I hate being apart from her. So just keep all these things in prayer. Let me pray for you, and I'll end. So let's pray. Father, thank you for my brothers and sisters at St. Thomas's, and thank you for the love and the support that they are to me and to one another. I want to pray your blessing on it. I pray that there have been stuff that has been shared tonight from your word that has been helpful. Anything that has not been from you, just may that not linger. Only that which people need to hear from you, may that linger in people's minds now. So thank you. Bless everybody, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night. God bless.